This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 13. Today's guests are Dennis and Claudia Haddix of the e-commerce indie meetup.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Again, this is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Brian Whitaker and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people do passion-filled work and, more importantly, giving them the resources and community to share it with others. You know, the choice to be an entrepreneur and to make your passion into a living is something that might not be for everyone. But for those of us who feel that it is our calling, it's important to understand why we feel this way. On top of that, I think it's also important to realize that entrepreneurship is all about making the impossible possible. When you're stepping out to do your own thing, many of us feel that we're going against the grain. That might be true if we compare ourselves to the rest of society, but life isn't in a rehearsal, and I think so many people live their life that way, which is unfortunate. They have that someday I want to do this mentality. Well, frankly, you know, they need to stop making it a what if and just do already. In today's chat, Brian and I talk about this and much more with our guests, Dennis and Claudia. I will warn you that the chat starts off fairly light, but then suddenly Brian really takes the chat for a ride, one that I wasn't planning on going on myself. He goes deep with them to find out what makes them to tick as entrepreneurs, and since they've been at this thing called entrepreneurship for a number of years, I think it makes for a very interesting conversation, one that once you listen to. If you're on the fence about being an entrepreneur, this might either knock you into it fully or off the idea altogether. So again, in today's chat with the Haddixes, we'll be discussing how they started an e-commerce business, what they did before making the business that they have now, and what it's like when a hobby becomes a business. So as always, enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session13. If you have any questions or ideas for the show, you can let us know at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And of course, I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, again, welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Today with us are friends of the show, Dennis and Claudia Haddix. Dennis and Claudia are leaders of the e-commerce indie group here in town, and the meetup itself is for like-minded individuals or companies that have online retail e-commerce stores. The group focuses on all kinds of topics, including SEO, email marketing, platform choice, kind of like do you go with FBA, Big Cartel, different things like that, best practices, and other related topics. Their experience comes from the founding of the Macarius Group. Is that how I pronounce that?
Good enough. Macarius, whatever.
Okay. Thank you. Which operates MacariusRV.com since 2008. That company has grown from an idea to a world-recognized RV parts provider, offering over 35,000 different SKUs managed by a small team of experienced campers. And those campers and clients are all over the world. So they've come a long way over the past seven, almost 8 years. So definitely experienced. So, hey guys, how you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Good. Yeah. I just saw on your guys' Facebook page yesterday that you had really nice lobster dinner the other night. So that's pretty cool. I'm totally jealous of that.
It was excellent lobster dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, wow, that's something you see maybe in Maine, but not around here too often. So cool. So yeah, I mean, you guys are just moving back to Indy and into the Noblesville area. I'm assuming you guys have settled in pretty well.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Getting there. Still have more to do.
Okay. Getting all the boxes loaded and everything taken care of back and where you guys were originally at, I'm sure. You know, one of the cool things about that is that what you guys, you know, you have in this e-commerce business, I assume that part of that is that you can kind of take it wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Yes, it gives you a lot of freedom.
Right. So what are you guys working on this week that excites you?
Hiring some new web developers to help kind of evaluate the current SEO on our site, as well as generating some new PPC campaigns.
PPC, pay-per-click. Yep. Cool. Are you going to be doing that through like Facebook or what?
Yeah, what would it be doing? It will be, it's going to be accomplished through really some remarketing efforts. So retargeting type of stuff, come visiting, capturing their data, find out what they're looking at, and then following them around for 2 or 3 days until they decide to come back and buy.
Okay. Well, that's some good, definitely some good logistics to have in regards to your customers. I mean, anymore, it's just ridiculous how much you can actually track. So that's cool. Cool that you guys are putting those tools to use. So I got to ask, what got you guys started in e-commerce in the first place?
I suppose that the biggest thing would be that the scope of the future of consumer buying and purchasing is going to be related to online. And with that was the idea of creating an online website to offer products through, not realizing that it was going to evolve into such a presence in the mobile beyond just desktop. You know, 8 years ago, mobile was a thought for selling maybe. Today it's one of the primary ways of doing online business.
Right. I know that, what was it, just even this past year, if in fact you didn't have a mobile friendly website, Google wasn't going to be too happy with you. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. I know that the site that I was taking care of, with America Multisport, the first version that I started with was definitely not mobile friendly. And now it's like, I think half of the people that register for events and races all come off, you know, when they're out running and doing all that sort of stuff. So it's definitely a change. Have both of you always been entrepreneurs? And I guess I can start with Claudia here.
Always.
Yeah.
We call ourselves serial entrepreneurs.
Really?
Always have worked for ourselves. There have been a few moments of where we thought it might be nice to get a regular paycheck and, you know, function in the what you would want to call the normal working world. Mm-hmm. And then it's just I guess we function at a different stress adrenaline level. And that's just, we get bored.
Right.
So we've always worked for ourselves.
Yeah.
In one form or another. I mean, even when we really had jobs, we also had side businesses.
What did you guys do before you started Macarius?
I would say that a couple of different areas. Claudia was really kind of managed and operated a janitorial service, which would have been during the day house cleaning, and at night would have been more office business type cleaning. With several automobiles and large staffing, just a ton of work. Mm-hmm. And then probably my past, which you'd be able to even see on LinkedIn, would have been including creating a flooring, kind of custom flooring design store. So you did flooring, whether it was hardwood, any type of flooring, wall tile, that type of stuff that just cater to high-end custom builders, your track home builders, and designers. It was a unique approach to a retail store, in the fact where it was mostly by appointment only. So it was more maybe on the wholesale high-end retail.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a concierge almost sort of deal, it sounds like.
Yeah, similar to that.
Okay, cool. All right.
Claudia, I'm curious to learn, you know, kind of more about who you are and kind of like, just like what makes you tick. Like, you know, can you tell me a little about yourself and like where you started and where you are now?
Well, that's interesting because nobody usually asks me. I've never known anything else but to work for myself or to work for us. I guess from where I started is just in different businesses where it was more, like Dennis said, I had a janitorial service in Geist, Carmel, you know, high-end places where I had a lot of employees and a lot of, what do you want to say, drama and hassle. And I know JC's wife does the similar thing too. So it's more about putting out fires, managing people. And I functioned well that way, but I functioned not so well as a person. You know, it overtakes your life at that point. So then we kind of scaled back. And that was one of the moments where Dennis thought it might be nice to get a job. And so I guess what makes me tick is just I function at a high level of performance. I like to give everything 100%. So that's an interesting question, though, like where I've come from to where I'm at, because I never would have pictured myself full time in working in the office 10, 15 years ago. But that's where I'm at now, is to work more on the back end. And I've always been the support system, I guess.
Yeah.
So does that answer your, I mean, that's a roundabout.
Yeah, but yeah, totally. I mean, there's no right answer, but yeah, it's right. Like,
it's a very deep thought process, I guess, for me.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's, I mean, so when you were, you described it as like putting out fires, like I kind of imagine that being pretty draining. I mean, a much different environment than probably where you're at now. I mean, maybe you put out fires still, but
it's a different type of draining.
Yeah.
To where, if for me, some people would say it's not the easier, but for me, it was the easier than the fires that, and I don't put out a lot of that fires because I do a lot of the content, social, marketing type of work here. So I don't put out a whole lot of fires. I guess I try to start more fires than put out fires in this environment. But
I love that. I love that you try to start more fires now. That's awesome. That's a great way to say it.
So it's different because when you have a janitorial service and somebody doesn't show up for work, you know, to clean somebody's house, then you just go and you find out an alternate source. And sometimes that involved where, you know, I didn't get home until 10, 11 o'clock at night because I'm, you know, I'm doing all the, where people don't show up, where people don't do things right. And then of course, when you have a lot of employees, you have a lot of different personalities. So then to get those people to work together and to go into people's houses, you know, you're dealing with people's probably their biggest investment that they make. Then you can't send two people that don't work well together or three people that don't work well together into a house, into a $1 million house. You can't do that. So
yeah.
That's the kind of fires that you put out. To me, that was just natural. I guess I've just always been natural at that kind of thing. This is more with working here has been more of a learning process for me to stretch myself farther than people would probably think. Oh, it's harder to go clean houses for 14 hours a day, but to stretch my brain. Sometimes it's harder here for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. A good contrast.
So let me flip the switch on you guys. So What makes you want to be an entrepreneur and go at it, you know, do your own thing?
That's a great question. JC, do you want me to start or would you like to go?
Mine's easy enough. I just know that that's kind of the way that I'm wired. I just like you guys, I find myself bored whenever I was in a job. Like I, you know, my first internship, couple of internships I had when I was in college, and it was the same thing day in and day out. And just like, nope, can't do it. Gotta wear multiple hats. And, you know, the thing is that, there's only two places that I found, and one of them's really no longer available to me, academia and entrepreneurship, that allowed me to wear those multiple hats. And, you know, what I try to do now with New Inceptions is to still be that teacher, still be that person that engages with, you know, people and making sure that they're finding out what they want to know. But I guess now it's more focused on a, you know, doing it for, in a way that the value that I'm adding to other people is measured by, income and just my overall well-being, I suppose, as opposed to, you know, if you were in academia, yeah, you got to do that as part of your job, but are you teaching what you want to teach? Not necessarily. So,
yeah, my motivation comes in a similar way to like who I am, but it's like, I started, I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur like back in 2001, back when I was, creating websites for people. But I realized it in 2008 that it kind of like what you said, Claudia, like it like lit a fire sort of for me. And I realized that, wow, I really love creating a business that makes an impact on people's life. I mean, that can be like a tiny impact. Like the impact, like for instance, like now I've got my current company and I want to work with other companies who care about their clients or their customers, right? Like I'm interested in helping companies, and more specifically, like the people in the company, have a better life. And maybe that's, they get to go, you know, they make enough money to spend more time with their family or go on a vacation or pay off their house so they're not suffering under debt. Or maybe it's not the company that I help, but that company's clients, and they're able to serve them in such a way that it makes their life better. And so like being an entrepreneur, I get to do that and get paid for it, which is, you know, awesome. And it's like, it's such a different way of living than 9 to 5, where you're worried about, you know, basically you're counting down the hours in your day until you don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
And like, that's just such, I've been there. You know, I think most people have had some sort of 9 to 5, even if it wasn't full time, you know, it's a summer job or whatever. And you're kind of just like counting down the hours or the time that you have left until you cannot be at that job.
Yeah.
And that's just miserable. You know, that's like, so I found in 2008 when I started my own nonprofit that, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people in this way. And so now I've taken that into the internet marketing world. And so that's what I do. And just being an entrepreneur is like what makes it so I don't dread coming into work every day, right? Like it's like, right. It's great. It's this opportunity to form amazing relationships with the clients that I have and to serve them at a high level so that they can have a better life, or maybe their customers can have a better life. So that's kind of like what motivates me.
Yeah. So then you're your company is non-for-profit?
No, no, that was a former company. So my in 2008, I started a not-for-profit in West Lafayette. And that was around like local, it was a political nonprofit, but it was a around like awareness and promoting like traditional American ideas around the Lafayette and West Lafayette area.
Okay.
So now, and what happened is, you know, I graduated and I left Lafayette. Actually, I went to Afghanistan for a year and I came back, was kind of directionless because I didn't know anyone when I came back because I had moved to Omaha, Nebraska. And so from Omaha to now, I've started a for-profit business, a regular business, where I help companies get more customers from their existing website, or I help them build a, in other words, I help them build a sales funnel or a marketing funnel, you know, to help their business thrive.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, it's funny, like, you know, talk about making a difference in people's lives. Like, but this is, you know, I guess this is my kind of small way of doing that. There's many ways you can make someone's life better. Right. So, I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I understand that.
And Dennis, don't think you're going to get off the hook.
No hook to be worried about juggling off of. I don't know. I guess my sense of entrepreneurship is thinking and dreaming up of ideas and then actually seeing it come to life. And there's a satisfaction with that. So having an idea, having a thought, seeing something that you feel that could be done differently, thinking through the whole process, creating a real life application with it, and experiencing failures along the way, and seeing successes, it is quite rewarding for the way my mind would work in that doing something that you love to do, dreaming, thinking, real life application, results, and sometimes you make money and sometimes you don't make money, it's really rewarding. It's a self-satisfying. It's challenging the mind to do something that maybe not everybody else A, can do, B, wants to do, or C, think that's just absolutely impossible, and then making that impossible possible to share with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that, coming up with an idea and making that possible. Like no one else was doing it, or it seemed impossible.
Well, and excitement, just the excitement of seeing if it works or not. I mean, that's like kids play, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's one of our kind of statements around here is that if you think about it, somebody else is either doing it or has already done it. And B, if you think about anything, there's absolutely nothing that's impossible. It's just a matter of figuring out a way, a formula, a concept, an application, a process that you actually can accomplish that goal that you think is impossible.
Right. I think that's a big takeaway right there, is because, I mean, how many people do you know that are just like, they before they even get started in something, they're like, nope. Can't do it. That's impossible. I'm not that kind of person.
Oh, sure. We have relatives that think that you're going to plateau. You're going to hit a certain level. You know, there's not that much that can be done. There's not that many people that are going to buy from you online. And you meet people in the e-commerce world that to believe that e-commerce is selling through channels like Amazon and eBay. And that can be a form of e-commerce, but the e-commerce channel is Amazon and eBay. To create your own channel, create the traffic, the advertising, the marketing, the landing pages, the conversion, and generating revenue and creating jobs. You know, that's that's entrepreneurship. And that is something that when folks, family, friends, and people in the industry that say they're in e-commerce, they don't always grasp that, can't grasp that. And fortunately, that's a great thing. That's a good thing. Otherwise, everybody would do it because it'd be too simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just, I saw a video today of Kevin O'Leary, the, what is it, on Shark, from Shark Tank, I think his nickname is like Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
it's just amazing. Like, you know, the best, he talked, his, it was a real quick video about how entrepreneurship, like, it's one of the best things you can do is to create a job for somebody like that. You know, to give them a job is one of the best things you can do for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly to your point, like, that's, it's so amazing that, you know, we can do this from kind of like out of thin air. Like, you come up with an idea and, you know, you try it out, you know. Yeah, it's got to have a formula, but, and you got to have a whole bunch of other things too, like motivation and all that stuff. But, you know, entrepreneurship is so cool in my mind. So how long have you guys, how long has Makarios been, I mean, since 2008, but is that been your life? Like, have you been solely dedicated to Makarios, Makarios since 2008?
Since 2008, yes. Live, breathe, bleed Makarios.
Yeah, Makarios. Yeah, it's, so what does that look like for you in a day? Like, how, what do you spend your time doing in a day? Like, do you wake up at 8 and go to bed at, you know, midnight, or do you guys have like an average day?
Yeah, I think for me personally, and Claudia is right there because, you know, her nickname in the office is she's the boss because she's the back office support system.
Yeah.
So she supports, you know, the ideas and the concepts and the sacrifices that it takes. But for a normal day and for us in 8 years, you know, the first 3.5 to 4 years is waking up and working and thinking about how you create it, how you make it better, how you do this, researching the search engines, what are their parameters, what kind of limitations do you have? What are you able to do? And data entry, from the time you're up to the time that you can't keep your eyes open and it's time to go to bed. There is not much other life. There was no income. It's a sacrifice. It's a huge sacrifice. And the past 2.5 years after that 4.5 is that, you do experience year after year growth, but you also start to feel and realize that your idea, and as you stated, as one of those mentors out there, like from the Shark Tank, your hobby turns into a business. And then when it turns into a business, that's when real life happens. That's when you figure out that, man, I need to have help. So now you create a job. And then you figure out how you pay that person and determining what their pay rate should be. And what their job description is not necessarily a simple 2-line sentence. You know, it's a small book because you're a very small company that you've got to wear a green hat for an hour and then a red hat for what you think is an hour, but it only turns in 10 minutes because now you got to put a yellow hat on because the responsibility continues to change and evolve throughout the day. So with that, your focus changes from that hobby into the business. And then you've got to figure out that there's also real life where you get an income from it. So then, what type of a business are you really going to be? How does the business really create a profit versus worrying about just creating revenue. So then you start to figure out what a P&L statements are. You start to figure out what a balance sheet means. You start to figure out that, hey, I need to see how do we get the money to take care of these things that you want to do. For us in today's world, for us personally, Claudia and I, in a normal day to day, it's that how do we remove ourselves from day to day operations working in the business to getting the eagle's eye view of working on the business, strategic growth, the cost of growth. So a normal day is when it's your own business, you're the entrepreneur, is that you wake up thinking about it. You drive thinking about it. You work thinking about it. You eat thinking about it. You drive home thinking about it. You have conversations about what happened through the day, what should have happened, what could happen, what needs to happen. And you go to bed and you get up the next morning and you do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I always say that I think it's easy to start a business because we've done it so many times. We're serial entrepreneurs. The part is when you get a business that sticks, that you want to grow, and maintaining that business and growing that business, that's the hard part. That is the hard part in my eyes, is when you're forced to grow that business up, when it's done with the infant stage and you've got to stop flying by the seat of your pants and really develop systems and goals and forecasts. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's it's what I would call the time of delusion and self-doubt. You know, the delusion that things will work out and the self-doubt that it just might not. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. See, I guess that's not the hard part for me, the self-doubt part, because I think an entrepreneur, we all have different mindsets, because you have to, being an entrepreneur, and when it is your sole gig, when you put all your eggs in that one basket, you have to be prepared and know what step B is if that egg basket drops and all the eggs break, because at some point it probably will. Mm-hmm. Because if you let that self-doubt creep in, it's going to overtake you. And then, you know, you can just, unless you have really strong people around you, you can make yourself fail. You can cause yourself to fail.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But an entrepreneur, that's not something that you think about. You can't ever think about that, I don't believe. Because it can overcome you and then kind of really take over. So for me, being an entrepreneur, there is no failure. There might be falling down, but falling down and saying, okay, I have fallen, and get back up and start it over and move forward again. It takes diligence, discipline, and a lot of faith. I mean, you just have to know that what you believe can be done and will be done, and you make it get done, and you get the help that you need, where that help comes from, spiritually, friend, wherever it comes from, that you know where it comes from, and you continue to move forward with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Dennis, something you said right there is like keeping you going, or like getting the help. So from where you're at, we just talked about like where you're at, or like what a day looked like in 2008 or until now. But like, what for you got you from where you were in 2008 to where you are now? Was there any one thing?
Any one thing? I would have to say faith. You know, that's something that people don't like to talk about. But thinking that you're the one that's in control and that you're making it all happen versus being grateful for everything that does happen and for the doors that are open and the doors that are closed, and discerning that to know where it comes from and to be grateful for it and to continue to move forward with it and not questioning it. I think that spiritually it's directed my path an awful lot.
Yeah. Claudia, for you, is there something, when I asked that question of Dennis, is there something that came up for you?
I don't know. That's a deep question for me too, because on one hand, it would be my faith, but on the other hand, it would be that I know, like, that Dennis will always be there. So I heard once, Tiffany Sauter, I don't know if you're familiar with her, of Element 3. She gave a speech and she said at one of the events that we went to that, you know, you can put so much into your business, into your work life. And at one point they had a rough year and she thought about, would it be more detrimental for me to lose my business or my marriage? And I guess that's what, like, is a pillar for me, is that he will always be there no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the pillars that successful entrepreneurs, what is that phrase that a successful guy always has a successful woman behind him or something like that?
And that's why Claudia is the boss.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it plays double handedly if you are trying to get that going, you have to both be on the same page. I know that one of the books I read, Robert Kiyosaki, is that, you know, he was talking about, you know, the best companies are those that have, you know, maybe not both people are in the business together. I mean, it's nice if they are, but it's good if they're both on the same page and, you know, they feel, you know, they know what's going on.
Yeah. I've always threatened to write a book at some point because I don't think that people understand. There has to be, you can't both be the bosses. It doesn't work. There has to be some give and take, and one partner has to be
the leader, not necessarily the boss.
Not the boss, but the leader. Or has to be strong in one aspect, and then the other has to let them have that, and then you have to be strong in another aspect. It's a big give and take, and there is an art to it, I think. Because in the beginning days, you know, I was more of just helping to make sure that he had everything that he needed, so that, you know, whether that be lunch, dinner, those kinds of things, more than what I do now.
Yeah.
And some people just can't handle that. Some couples can't handle that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot to be said about how, you know, if you know each other's strengths, I mean, then take advantage of them. And, you know, that is just amazing how much just that knowledge can help not only the couple, but you guys' life as well. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I love what you said there, Dennis, and Claudia. I think Dennis, you said like one has to be a leader and the other one's the boss, or like, one's a leader and the other one, you know, there's not like a boss, or there's not, you can, both can't be the boss. Like there has to be give and take and kind of like a mutually beneficial situation. I feel like that's totally relevant for business when you have a partner, whether I imagine whether it's your spouse or not, but also like kind of in marriage too, at least for me, like, you know, it's happier that way. Right.
There's a certain dynamic to being an entrepreneur. And then there's a dynamic to having a marriage, and then there's a dynamic to of sharing that responsibility of a marriage and leading a business. And when I say the boss, with her being the back office support system, is that, yeah, it's great to be a leader. And when I have worked for organizations in that corporate America position, I've always held a leadership position. And so that's, it's different because, as you said earlier, you leave and you go home because you know at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock that day is over, that day's been put in. When you're the entrepreneur, the day never does end. So that dynamic of the entrepreneur, the dynamic of having a successful marriage of 27 years now, Claudia and I, and then having a dynamic of sharing your marriage and sharing it in a business ownership style, and then and giving that way of knowing when to listen, when to lead, taking the advice of, hey, you're not thinking this thing all the way through. Have you thought about it this way? Being receptive and open to those. You're talking about a lot of dynamics in juggling a business as an entrepreneur, but then putting all of that in there as well. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think you said, like, you're not looking, or you could look at it this way too, right? Like, I just had something in my business earlier this week, just a shift from someone's outside perspective, and like totally alleviated this frustration that was going on for me, and you know, my business and my life are all the better for it.
Yes, we had a meeting this afternoon. We've had a hiccup here that we've been trying to overcome for what will be 3 months, and trying to figure out what that hiccup was. It involved a hiring of an outside agency, and upon that hiring, we created a hiccup. So the agency had done some quite detailed things into some of the organizational part of marketing. And, so we had a meeting this afternoon with some different folks, and it was amazing that a room with five people in it, that one person says, well, what about this? And then it's that moment that Claudia and I look at each other and thought, are you kidding me? Something so simple that we've overlooked that can probably be done within, I don't know, 15 minutes of making the change back to where it was prior to hiring this agency. And then starting back from there that we knew it was working, and then fine tune and tweak it again. So that aha moment of outside influence, I get you loud and clear, Brian. I understand completely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like you said, like the room of five people, sometimes you don't even realize where it's going to come from.
Yeah. I mean, this person we met for the first time today, gave them the background of the understanding, and then says, well, what about this? That could be the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another reason why it's such an amazing experience to be an entrepreneur for me. Like, these solutions are just there. We just have to, and it's like our business can be more successful or more enjoyable kind of just when you tweak certain things. And like, you don't have that opportunity necessarily at a job. You kind of just receive
whatever the higher ups tell you to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a hierarchy working in the corporate America. Oh. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. But you got to learn how to listen. That's for darn sure as an entrepreneur.
Whew. All right. So I just want to, I feel like we went really deep right there.
Come back to the surface, start breathing a little bit again.
Right. Like, I didn't actually in this episode, really this podcast, I had no intention of going so deep, but it just happened. It felt right. So, anyway, so like, I guess the next stuff, like, let's take a breath and like have some lighter conversation too. There is a Harvard business professor who did a study for McDonald's one time. McDonald's brought him in to figure out how to sell more, milkshakes, right? So, and to the McDonald's had tried everything, you know, lower the price, raise the price, you know, coupons, deals, whatever. And it really didn't make a big impact. And so they realized they wanted to understand their customer better and why they purchased McDonald's milkshakes And so that's what this professor brought in to do. So he kind of summed up what his discovery was, or what his job was there, by saying, we wanted to find out what people hired the milkshake to do for them. Have you ever heard about that?
No,
I have not.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of like a different way of looking at like a product, you know, cause we all buy products. Like, what job do we hire that product to do? So in the case of the McDonald's milkshake, it was, they hired that milkshake to, because it was more filling than just a regular drink, but not too filling, like maybe a bagel or a, you know, McDonald's breakfast sandwich. And they wanted it, instead of it being like an ice cream cone or something, they wanted to take it with them on their drive to work or on their drive back. So this is, you know, they're hiring this milkshake to do that, to fill them up just enough on their ride from to and from work. Right. And so that's kind of like the, where he arrived at. And once they understood that, they could, you know, their milkshake sales, you know, took off. They employed whatever it was that they did. And so my question to you guys is more of, what is the reason people choose you? What is the reason people buy your products? What do they hire you guys to do?
Well, I think what we finally determined with that is, you got a couple of leading causes for an online shopper. One staple is going to be cost. And if you're the lowest guy out there, you're going to get that sale. In some instances, that's okay. In most instances, that may not be the buyer that you want. For the lifelong value of that customer. So we may not be the cheapest person. But the best separating factor, I think, that's the easiest to determine, and that's that separating factor that's keeps the oil and the water separated without them doing it amongst themselves, is you've got an Amazon shopper or an eBay shopper. And how many times, not necessarily our product, any product that's out there, can you call Amazon and ask them, how does this item perform?
Right. No, you can't.
Yeah. I don't know that you can. Or I bought this product, but, I'm having this issue with it. How do I make it work? You can't necessarily do that from buying from Amazon or eBay.
Right.
But if you buy from somebody that says and not only states that they do, but you can physically call them and have a phone conversation. Yeah, we have live chat. Yeah, we have email. We have contact us forums. But we also have a phone number that we'll post on the site so that you can call. And if you have a question, or you're needing that manual, or you have a problem, or something arrived damaged, instead of communicating this through typical email correspondence, you can make a phone call and somebody live is going to be able to help you, as little as helping you with the MRA process if it was damaged or if it was the wrong item, to I'm not sure how this is supposed to work. To I'm needing a manual, to hey, I have this, I just don't know what I actually need to replace. What do I need to fix it with? So that will separate us every single time, and it's a level of customer service that's being provided and being extended. What the difficult part of that is, we're in a digital footprint. How do you share that customer service experience that the customer is going to have in the digital arena? I'm not sure anybody has the answer to that. That's what separates us from everybody else. We hear it every time. If we had, I don't know what the value you would want to assign to that, but for every person that says, man, I wish I would have known this, man, I wish I would have called you first, wow, nobody else takes care of us like this. Wow, I don't know that somebody actually even cares about their customer anymore. If we could put that in and market that, that's our separating factor. And it has been from the beginning, and it will be to carry us through. That's something that we can never lose focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. So your customer lifetime value even then is affected. You referenced that earlier, like you by getting the customers who aren't necessarily just price sensitive, but they want that level of customer support where they could call you guys up and you just even just ask a simple question if needed.
Like, they can do that every time. You know, there's specific hours that were currently available. We're looking to change that later. But yes, to know that they can do that. So I guess the Amazon and the eBay customer, that's not our customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You also brought up like experience, like, you know, how do you bring that experience? And you said no one has the answer. But also in that same vein, like, you don't have whatever is on your site, they're experiencing. So it's an experience, whether you want, you try to shift it into one or not, right? It might be a bad experience or a good experience. It's kind of just, and Amazon is one of those big, gigantic retailers, e-commerce retailers. I mean, their experience is different than.
Well, even if you did want to ask them, I mean, and even if you do get a hold of them, which you can, they're like, no, don't add us. You're going to have to talk to the manufacturer. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So JC, you just drove me like deep into another deep question, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for that answer, Dennis. That was great.
So then let me ask you, Brian, because I know right now there are tons of people that do the same thing that you do. What's your defining factor?
My defining factor, that's a good question. My defining factor is me. In the same way that you provide customer service, customer experience to those people who come to your website, that is what I want to deliver to the small handful of people that I want to work with. My strongest factor is that is the relationship that I build with my client, right? It's like that my best interest isn't charging the cheap cost. My best interest and their best interest is getting a service at a high enough level to where I can make their life better. And I have, there's no perfect definition of what like giving them a better life is. It really is dependent, but that means is that I have to be selective about the type of companies that I work with and the type of people. So I'll be able to tell very quickly, when I get on the phone with someone, whether we're a good fit or not to work together. I don't know. It kind of just comes down to what they want from me. Do they want a partner to grow their business from, you know, 2 million to 20 million to 50 million? Or do they want to hire a marketer, right? Yeah. Like there's a difference. There's a big difference.
Oh yeah. There's a big difference. But it's also, I find that it's a struggle for small businesses because there are not a lot of people who want to be that partner in the beginning, where there's not as much money on the table. So that's been a struggle for us because of that reason. You know, it's hard to find, even though there's a ton of agencies, there's a ton of people who do it, you know, for themselves, by themselves. But I find it's come into two categories for us at present. A big agency who's supposed to know what they're doing, and I feel like e-commerce, it's not understood at the level with as many SKUs as we do. I think if you have an e-commerce company that deals with, say, 100 products or 5 products, it's much easier than one that has thousands of products, because it's much more difficult to market all those products.
Yeah.
So there's the big agencies that tell you they know what they're doing, but they don't really. So you're paying them to learn, but they're not going to tell you that at the beginning. Then I found that there's, you know, the guys who are working for themselves who have more on their plate than they can handle, and they don't really want to be, they don't have the time to be your partner, because they have to take on a lot of clients to, in order to make a living. So yeah. I just find that it's hard for small businesses. You have to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince.
Yeah. That totally sounds right to me. That sounds like, and on the other end of that, like serving, I used to serve small businesses that made, you know, around $100,000, you know, between $100,000 and $500,000. And I had a tough time because of what you just said. I would have to have a certain level of client, a number of clients, right? A certain quantity of clients. And when I have when that reaches too much, right? When that becomes too much, I can't have that partnership with the companies that really lights the fire for me.
Right.
So that was a decision that I made recently in the last year to work with companies that are growing, that want to grow, but they're not too big yet. Like, you know, they're not the enterprise level. But that's a big thing, like the growth and the struggle that comes with that. Like, you there's this, from like zero to like $1 million, it's like sales. And from $1 million to 10 million, it's like, can you maintain your culture? Can you maintain the reason your business, you know, in that growth, the reason your business exists? And like, so the mindset for the business owner is so different.
Yeah.
And it's totally, there's all these small little struggles to maintain what you built. It's kind of funny, like going from a million to 10 and then beyond. But yeah, it's, I don't know. So I guess I feel your pain on the other, even on the other side of it.
Yeah. Right? And I mean, I can feel the pain on the other side of it too. I mean, I see it from both spectrums, and yeah, it is, that's the difficult spectrum probably for the business owner as well, when you're in between the 1 million to 10 million mark, because that is, like you said, that's the growth phase, and that's where you really have to, you have to figure it out, like how you're going to continue to grow and maintain.
Yep.
Because you can grow there all you want. You can grow to 10 million. If you do 2 the year after that, you're screwed. You know, you're done, because you've got the overhead of 10, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting what the new discoveries that you run into. It kind of just happens, right? When you with the business, you set out to create an idea and you do it, and then all this other stuff comes with it, good and bad.
So. Yeah. I always joke with our accountant, because he's like our dad, because it's the fly by the seat of the pants. You do what has to be done, and then you sit down with your accountant. He's like, okay, this is how much revenue you have to have to support this.
Yeah.
So I always say, I'm depressed after the meetings with the accountant, because he's the one who's like telling you this is what you have to do. And day to day, you don't look at that. You just look at what it takes to get through.
Yep. Well, listen, we kind of have to move towards closing up this great conversation.
Typically, we tend to ask 3 questions that we always ask towards the end of the different conversations we do. And the first one is, you know, what 3 things would, if your business, or the things that, if your online persona or just basically everything just dropped off the face of the earth, what three things would you want people to remember you by? And it can be shared between the two of you or both.
Interpret that one.
Like if we just, are you talking about the business? Or are you talking?
Yeah.
About
if the business disappeared, like if basically, disappeared. So what would be going back to the e-commerce group? What, since that is basically your guys's teaching platform, how, when you're trying to make an influence there, what do you want? How do you want people to remember you guys as? If that helps.
I would say that I would first want to be remembered that just a normal person, if that makes any logic to you at all. Mm-hmm. That it's not necessarily that you have to be a novice or an expert, but that you stay grounded. So whether you're making $10,000 a year or whether you're making $500,000 a year, that's the moot point, that you just stay true to yourself and who you were and who you said you were, and that you just followed that line.
Yeah, that's definitely key.
And I would say too that if we tell a customer we're going to do something, we do it. Like we, not 100% of the time, because you can't say 100% of the time, but
that. No, and as far as customers go, for what Claudia is saying, is that we believe, and that I would want people to know that, hey, they set that example, that today you choose who you want to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that you did everything that you had to do to make sure you pleased the customer. Today, you can't always please that customer. So today, there are customers that we don't want. So we have to make that call. You have to be confident in yourself and in your abilities and in your business to say that that's a customer we don't want, and this is a customer that we do want.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's I like that. And you know, I've never thought about it like that before, but you know, you're definitely right, and that's the way it used to be, that you do whatever you can to get any customer you can. But with, you know, the web opening up into the entire world, why you know, be so needy for, you know, just one sale? So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so the next question is, what are three of your favorite teachers or experts? They don't even have to be on business, but they can be, you know, what are your three favorite teachers or experts
that have influenced you in your business?
That could be very deep as well.
We'll try to keep it high level.
Well, because you have a, for us personally, for me personally, there's a spiritual side and then there's a natural side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, you know, spiritually, I'm very grateful for everything that I'm blessed with. And so that has to be first and foremost. And then to come in behind that, for the natural, I would say it's fantastic to have a wife and a friend and a partner and a supporting cast all wrapped into one. And then a third position would have to be, and as crazy as this will sound, maybe to the two of you, and maybe not so much because you're both of a little bit younger age, would be the internet. For what Google, you know, Larry and Sergey set out to do, and what they've accomplished, are two different things from what they began to do. But to know that there is that unlimited resource. Back in school, we used encyclopedias. Those were hardbound books, if you two aren't familiar with those.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah.
But today, there's this thing that's called, depending on who you're talking about, the intranet. It's what a mentor that the internet provides to have and be able to almost answer any question at your fingertips of failures and successes that help lead you down the path that you're striving.
Very, yeah. Very interesting take, but I like that.
That was a very deep answer. You're right. Yeah. That was, that was cool. That was cool. Claudia, do you have any thoughts on it? What are your thoughts? What are your three favorite teachers or experts?
Well, I think, as far as teachers, I would have to say, you know, that's my spiritual as well. Dennis teaches me every day in his integrity. And then I would have to say my grandkids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cool. Go Dennis.
They teach you don't take life too seriously.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have grandkids. I have kids, but no grandkids yet.
In fact, he's expecting a third. He almost didn't even make the call today. So
yeah, actually, today is October 29th when we're recording this, and JC, you can edit that out if you want. But today is the due date of our third kid.
Congratulations. Okay. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, so
there's nothing like creating life, of being blessed to be able to create that life. Until you've done it, you haven't lived life. But then to see that life that you create the next generation, speechless.
Yeah. Gosh, I can't imagine. I mean, yeah. Wow. Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we kind of already know what the answer to the next question, but what do you guys, how do you guys define success?
I think success is leading a happy life and living a happy life. Your life was given to you to live, and that you should live it and make the best of it.
I would agree.
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
So cool. Well, hey, we definitely appreciate you guys coming on today and taking some time
to pleasure.
Sit down with us. You know, if people are wanting to, you know, possibly get some answers on if they're starting a e-commerce business, how would they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
There's a couple of ways. Always emails available, and that is Dennis H, DENNISH, at the Makarios Group. And so everybody knows how to spell the and group. So that middle word's going to be MAKARIOS. So Dennis H at the Makarios Group.com. And if they wanted to reach out after that, I mean, my signature is going to have my mobile contact as well. And I'm open. I'm easy to get a hold of.
Awesome. So, alrighty. Well, you guys are again the leads of the e-commerce indie group, and if anybody's in the Indianapolis area, they can check you out on meetup.com as well, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Correct. E-commerce indie.
Okay. Cool. So, thanks for coming on, and we'll chat later.
All right, best and cheers, boys.
Great.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Claudia and Dennis. Again, you can get in touch with them by visiting their e-commerce group on meetup.com or contacting them through their various online sites, including Facebook. I'll have those links in the show notes, which are, again, newinceptions.com/session13. Remember, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.
Further instructions on how to do just that are in the show notes as well. In this week's show note extras, I got a lot of content in regards to getting going with e-commerce. Personally, Maria and I have experience with FBA, which is short for Fulfilled by Amazon. However, you don't have to use Amazon or eBay to do online business. There are plenty of other platforms that are out there as well. One that I'm looking into right now is called Shopify. So what I'm sharing with you guys are some videos relating to the pros and cons of FBA and Shopify. Also, I'll be linking in the SBI podcast that got me started on doing FBA. I think I'll get a lot out of those, especially the one with Ryan Moran, who's really big into what is called private labeling. If any of you guys have experience with e-commerce platforms, I'd love to hear which ones you use and maybe a reason or two and why you use it. Again, go on over to newinceptions.com/session13 to share your experiences. I also want to thank today's sponsors for this episode, which is 99 Designs, who's making it super easy for all of us to get some design work done. It's something we all need to do, and no matter how small or big, 99designs.com can help you do so. In fact, it's very economical. If you can't afford the time to do graphic work on your own, or you just don't have the time to do it, this is a great secondary option. Plus, you get multiple designs for things that you need, so you can pick up the first one that you like best, and you know, usually it has a quick turnaround. Probably, I would say within 7 days. This is you know, to me, really cool. I've used it a couple of times myself back in the AMS days, and I know that Pat Flynn and Tim Ferriss use it as well. If you go to newinceptions.com/99designs, you'll get access to a random bonus that will display at the top of the site when you land on their front page. Sometimes it's a power pack of services, other times it might be a discount. You can then use those on your next design project, on anything like more designs, more exposure of your contest, and you know, things like that. Again, that's newinceptions.com/99designs. I'd also like to give a shout out to fizzle.co. If you go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, you'll get a free month of membership to this awesome resource. Fizzle is a membership-based website that can help you build your online business from conception to reality and more. It's what I've been using to mold New Inceptions to what I want it to be today. And there's so many resources that there that it's almost ridiculous. An online forum, courses, I mean, podcasts, even Fizzle Fridays, where you can ask their in-house educators, including Chase and Corbett, questions regarding your online presence. So at $35 a month, Fizzle is a great alternative to those big name courses that you can run anywhere from $500 to a couple thousand of bucks. And with the quantity and quality of courses in it, you might not need to go elsewhere. So again, for your first month for free, go to newinceptions.com/fizzle. Thank you so much for listening in today. We really appreciate it. Next week is a conversation that I think you're going to love. It's with a friend of mine who in college was so focused on getting employed by NASA that she missed a lot of her college experience. In fact, since high school, she was dedicated to her mission in getting there. And you know what? She was able to accomplish it. But now, she's a fitness coach. That's kind of a big change, right? I mean, you might wonder what happened. How did she go from one to the other? Well, that's what her and I are going to be talking about in the next session. So if you feel that you might be in a position in your career where you just don't feel like it fits anymore, like I did, or just want a complete change, I think it'll be a good talk for you to listen to. Hopefully it'll help you see that what you once thought was the destination is only the beginning. So until then, head on over to New Inceptions website and let us know what you thought about the session with Dennis and Claudia. Also, ask any questions you might have there as well. I'll make sure that they get them. As always, thank you guys so much. We appreciate each and every one of you. And, you know, we're quickly closing out the year, and I hope you guys have been able to achieve your goals. And if not, you know, you have a few weeks left, and so make sure you end on a high note. So until next episode, take care and keep moving forward in your own journey.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go. At facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.